Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective serving over 30 sports and over 800 student athletes at Penn State. We're looking for more information about Happy Valley United. Just go to the website, happyvalleyunited.com. And as usual on this week's show, it's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Football for Happy Valley United. Mike, how are we doing, sir?
Oh, we're doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me again. Glad to be here. I know we got a lot to talk about. We have some recruiting to talk about, NIL, that space, a lot of things going on right now.
There sure is. There's no time off, is there? We're in the middle of summer now.
No.
And it's still craziness, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy, especially when you're a guy like Andy, a coach, a support staff guy. You never really get time off, but they get a couple weeks off in July during the dead period, and then they're back on it for the next 8 months.
Well, that's the way it goes. You said we're going to talk about recruiting. Let's start with that, Mike. Last week, not necessarily a great recruiting week for Penn State. And what I'm hoping you could do is help some of the Penn State fans who are out there on the ledge, okay, ready to jump.
Yep.
I want you to get them back off the ledge, bring them back inside the building, let us know that everything is okay. And what I'm referring to is, while Penn State was having a tough recruiting week, it was Notre Dame taking advantage of it. Three Penn State targets, a couple of these guys you and I have even talked about, made their way to a commitment to Notre Dame. Grayson McKeough, a four-star offensive tackle, and Joey O'Brien, four- or five-star safety, both out of the Philly area, LaSalle College High School. They both committed to Notre Dame, as did Kerry Adams, a four-star cornerback out of Maryland. And just to add insult to injury, Luke Waifel, defensive end, whose brother came to Penn State this offseason in the transfer portal, he made his decision for USC. Should we be panicking here, Mike?
No, but this is what college football makes it great, right? Especially recruiting. A fan base like Penn State, the huge following, especially when it comes to recruiting, it makes it fun, right? But you got to look at the broader picture when it comes to recruiting. And you got to look at the evolution of the NIL and recruiting and the broader scope of the ecosystem and where it's at right now, right? Like this should alert Penn State fans that, you know, we're still player development based driven, right? And some of these decisions that kids are making now aren't based off of relationships, right? So every kid has a story and a background of why he didn't decide to go to Penn State. But you know, Penn State still is doing a really good job recruiting. You know, we still have a majority of the top 10 recruits in the state. And to talk on that, you're going to go through waves, and this has been every year, not just this year. Teams, regardless how good they do, you know, you can look at USC, number one recruiting team right now when it comes to the rankings. But they've gone through these waves. Will it have two or three kids decommit, or they lose a guy that they were hot on? But they're still number one in recruiting, right? And what you're about to see at Penn State is they're going to go through another wave of commitments. And then you're going to just forget about
last wave.
Yeah, you're just going to forget about that last wave. And it's going to be great momentum going into the season. We have a great class right now. But that's just part of college football and what we're doing. But when you dive into the weeds and why each kid goes there, that is changing a little bit. But Penn State is still in a great position to keep their concept and their model. And like I said, they're going to be steady with player development-based messaging to these kids. And it's going to be about relationships and transformational decisions, not transactional.
Well, and I'm not sure how much you could comment on this, but – here's my take, you know, as a typical outsider without that inside information. I see USC, they're like atop the national rankings for recruiting right now this year. And that's unusual, okay? That's not the typical name you see at the very top. It's not Georgia. It's not Alabama. It's not Ohio State. They're not coming off a undefeated season or a playoff season. So it seems out of nowhere. And I instantly say, hey, this is the same as when Ole Miss, you know, won the recruiting wars, or when Texas A&M did. I just suspect all of a sudden there's some LA money coming in. And to support that, like Luke Wafel, who went there, I'm reading all this information that they in Ohio State got in an actual bidding war for the kid. So it makes, okay, that was all about money. That doesn't bother me as a Penn State fan. I don't like it. Doesn't bother me, though. What I don't like is Notre Dame, who I think in many ways is similar to Penn State. It's a good university with a long history, a lot of tradition in football. Even the campuses, you know, they're in a small town in the middle of sort of nowhere. You feel like Marcus Freeman, like James Franklin, both very dynamic recruiters. And I don't like seeing Notre Dame come into Pennsylvania and get the best out of the state. And I don't worry that USC is going to start doing that. My worry is Notre Dame doing that, not just this year, but over the next several years. Again, please tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think time will tell, Jim. You know, like, it, great point. Well, two things. And first, to the USC point, I think programs in this country, they're all a little bit different. And their roster, where they're at, their expectations, where they want to be. So I'm not in the building at USC, but I believe with what they're doing right now is they're trying to hit home runs with these young players. And you're going to be paying these players a lot of money to be coming in and get some of these 4 or 5 stars that they're getting right now, right? Well, that says a lot to the culture right now. So are they planning for the future or the long run, right? So because you're going to bring in a Luke Wafel, who is a true freshman, and you're going to be paying him a lot of money. Well, what about those other 15 guys in that defensive line room that aren't making that money? So is there going to be issues there culturally? What's that say to the senior that's been there 4 or 5 years and gone through the ups and downs at USC? And the other thing, too, is he plays a position that doesn't generally come in and play right away. It takes about a year or two to development. So what they're going to do is, if he doesn't play, I look at it as at the NFL cap, you're sitting on dead money for a year. So say that was $2 million, and now he was getting paid like $1 million next year. That's $1 million you're not getting return on your investment. That's how I kind of look at it. But again, I think the bigger picture is it's a cultural thing. You know, they're going to bring these guys in. I don't know how they're doing it, but they're going to have to talk to their older players and the vets in that team that are going to have to lead this team, their team. And they're going to have to be able to explain or, you know, what their philosophy is, why that kid's getting paid more than him, and dealing with the agents, the families, and all that. That sounds like a mess to me. So I like where Penn State is at compared to the programs that are thinking short term, because we're going to think long term. Now, on Notre Dame's, like, that, this is a good thing for college football. This is a rivalry. We both have momentum. You know, we were just basically in the Final Four. So, you know, they're going in, you know, hot young coach. You know, we got a great coach. Both traditions are like very rich going back to the day. And each kid has a different story. You know, Joey O'Brien, I'm not saying he does, but he may have a relative that, you know, he grew up with that is a huge Notre Dame fan, and he got brainwashed. And that might be the same thing for Grayson and Adams, and they're all different. But, you know, if that happens, we don't want that to happen, but it's going to happen, you know, and we're going to get players that Notre Dame has on their board, top of the board, than we want. It's just part of the game. They haven't signed yet, you know, so there's a long road. So the past couple of years, when they created the second signing day, it really kind of sped up the recruitment. So all these commits come in during the summer, right? Well, there's a whole season to be played. All right. So Notre Dame, hypothetically, they can go in and lose every single game. Okay, well, I don't know if Joey O'Brien, Grayson, and Adams are going to be that interested about going to an 0-10 team, right? So
we can only hope.
Yeah, but, you know, there's still a lot to happen. I'm not saying that it will, but, you know, it's still a long road until signing day in December.
And just a reminder, the name Andrew Olesh was committed to Michigan for a very long time last year before coming back to Penn State. I think part of this also, Mike, is I think it was on last week's show that we were together a couple weeks ago. I let you know what I thought of Notre Dame. And I think that's the case with a lot of Penn State fans. So I believe we're more sensitive to it. On a more positive note, I do want to ask you about Pierce Peterson, 6'5" tight end, who, as soon as I saw his, I saw him list that 6'5", I saw 180, 190, 200. In other words, he hasn't filled out yet. And something yeah. you've been preaching to me for weeks is about Penn State getting these long, big wingspan, athletic guys. And you start seeing highlights of him either running track or playing basketball. This kid's an athlete, isn't he?
Yeah, and those things that we look and that we value, that translates to the field, right? So you combine that with the recipe of the strength and conditioning program, the nutrition program, the developmental program. You know, so it usually ends up a good thing when you take players that have those elite traits like he does. And, I mean, the rich keep getting richer, right? That room, like that has to be the most talented room in the country, I would argue. And kudos to the staff and definitely Ty Howell being one of the best recruiters in the country because that room is awesome. And not just great players with elite traits, but these guys are really good dudes. Like talking to them, they're good people. They're football players, right? Just like Tyler Warren was. He was just a football player. Well, that runs down that whole room. And it's pretty neat to see that room continue to stack talent.
Well, the other part to this is he's playing quarterback in high school. A tight end who used to play quarterback in high school. That sounds like a familiar story, Mike.
Yeah, exactly, right? And it's special when you see big guys like this playing because usually, you know, at high school programs, you know, a lot of times you see the best athlete, regardless of what he should be, is playing quarterback, right? And usually it's that smaller, skilled guy that can is just really fast. Well, in the case of Tyler Warren's and now the newest commit, these guys are just athletes. They're football players, right? They just have a good feel for the game. And that's what you want in your room and in your program.
Exactly. All right. That's it for quarter number one. Lots more to go when we get back with Mike Villagrana.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. The NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante, along with Happy Valley United Executive Director Mike Villagrana. Mike, and I appreciate this, quarter number one, we were talking about recruiting last week. Not a great week for Penn State. You answered the questions really well, explained things to everybody. Now I want to shift gears, Mike. Let's take a look at the current team, but I don't want to look at the obvious part of this team. We all know about the veterans who are back. You know, it's Drew Aller at quarterback, the running backs coming back, a tremendous offensive line room. Plenty of guys on defense are returning. But the very nature of college football is players cycle out. They get done with their eligibility. They move on to the NFL. So you're always going to lose a lot of talent. But the question always becomes not just, okay, we know Drew Aller's the quarterback, the guy. But the question I'm going to have essentially on the entire team is, who's next? Who's the guy that maybe they're not on everybody's radar yet, but they can get into the rotation perhaps this year, and then come 26, they're the guy we're looking forward to carrying the load being starters. So I just want to jump around through different positions, as I seem to always do. Let's start at quarterback. We know Drew Aller's here in the starter. We know Bo Prabula moved on for the opportunity to be the guy at Missouri. So it's, all right, who's number two? And it's an interesting competition for backup quarterback. Jackson Smolak, been here one more year, but missed the year because of injury. And then we have Ethan Grunkmeyer, the redshirt freshman, who a year ago when we were in playoff time, he was number two in the depth chart. That would have been crazy if something had happened to Drew Aller. So now we've got Smolak, Grunkmeyer. How have they been looking, Mike?
Yeah, in my opinion, they've been looking great. I think this competition in the fall is going to be really good now that those guys are healthy. They both bring a little bit different to the plate, but both are athletic, smart, both have great deliveries, release, quick. So it's going to be fun to watch them. And, you know, I got to see them in the winter the first time, and I was really impressed with that room. Obviously, Drew's Drew, and he's going to be a stud. But these two behind him, you know, if they need to fill in for Drew at certain times, or if there's something from a two quarterback system that looks valuable for a certain game, I think these guys would be able to do that. But, you know, overall, Jim, not just the quarterback position, but kind of want to marry what we just talked about is with recruiting and with the depth chart, right? And depth. You got to have depth on your roster, right? Because injuries, it's just inevitable. It's going to happen. Right. So you have to have somebody that's going to come in and is not going to, you know, lose a game, or he's going to be a liability on the field. Right. So we look at recruiting, we look at NIL. Well, those teams that are going to just jump on board with NIL and just fill the gaps, right, and fill the roster top heavy with portal guys. Well, then there's going to be holes. Right. You're going to go up and down every year. You're going to have holes in your roster. Well, the long-term model, what we're doing with Penn State is we're bringing guys in, talented guys, and we're developing them still, right? So they can't. So we do have that depth. And I tell you what, this is the most depth that I've seen on a roster since being in college football. And it's kudos to the staff, these players, the belief, and staying here. Back to, you know, the quarterback question, you know, both of them look really good. It's going to be interesting to see who kind of jumps out to two and three, but you shake them up, I think you'd be happy with both of those guys subbing in for Drew.
Now, I know it's a small sample size, but we saw both of them on the field in the blue-white game. They both, I thought, looked very good. They looked poised. They looked mobile, which leads me to I think that James talked about saying he will definitely have a package for somebody, whoever that might be. What's the comfort level of the mobility that either one or both of these guys could show, that kind of, you know, that change up like we saw from Bo Prabula, who was the, you know, I think Drew Aller's underestimated with his mobility, but Bo was special with his mobility. Is that the kind of thing we could see from either one of these guys?
Yeah, 100%. I think I just touched on that. These guys are both mobile, like you talked on. I think that, like, them, it's a pain in the butt for a defensive coordinator to know in the back of their mind or the scouting report that they might bring in this mobile quarterback, right? And both of them bring that value to the field, being Jackson and Ethan. So I think it's definitely a possibility. I wouldn't be surprised if you guys see that. If not, see it a lot. This fall, because I mean, it helps out Drew too, you know, like it has to keep the defense on the toes, you know, helps Drew out. Maybe he needs to, you know, get a blow. So I think it's a really good thing when you're able to have the ability to, switch it up with a mobile quarterback.
And I also think it helps out that Drew doesn't have to take all the blows, okay? If there's a situation where you want a quarterback option to run, that Drew isn't the one having to take all the hits.
Yeah.
I think it also helps, and I've had this debate with people, whether Drew should stay on the field or not when the backup quarterback comes in. But when you have an Andy Kotelnicki running things on offense, boy, having that second quarterback on the field can make things pretty interesting.
Yeah, heck yeah. Like you saw it last year. I don't think it's going to change, you know. And, you know, we keep saying, you know, the trait being mobile, bringing a mobile quarterback, but these guys can also sling it. So they're the total package. It just so happens that they're pretty good on their feet too. But, you know, they're pass first quarterbacks, able to make all the throws, you know, short, medium, intermediate. They're good.
Okay, I want to shift positions now. I'm not going to go in the order that I had talked to you about because I want to hit something you talked about, the tight end room and the depth there. And I agree. Personally, I think this is tight end university now. However, with that said, I can't recall the last time I felt this way about a Penn State offensive line. They're good. They're talented. They're athletic. They're deep. And you know, I'm not sure I'm challenging you by saying, hey, isn't the offensive line just as deep or deeper than tight end? But it sure feels that way, Mike.
Yeah, it does. I mean, this is one of the most valuable things that you can have on a college roster or roster in general, whether it's college football or NFL or whatever. If you have depth across the board on the offensive line and the defensive line, you're going to have a chance to win games. And when I came here, I'll never forget coming to a practice and seeing the team in person for the first time. I said, holy crap, this offensive line is awesome. They look great off the hoof. You know, just physically, they look the part, you know, tall, long, very athletic. And then you look across the board. All right, there's Nick Dawkins. There's all these other guys that you guys are used to seeing. And then behind them, that are going to be pushing them are these younger guys that have been developed, you know, 2-3 years and look great. And then you see them and their reps and you say, well, okay, this guy can come in and do just as good as job. So we're ready. You know, I think, you know, we're 8-9 deep right now in the offensive line room that guys can come in and contribute and we won't skip a beat. But, you know, again, it's kudos to Coach Franklin and Trout. It's just like, it's kind of like the tight end room, you know, he's recruited well, he's developed well, and he's built a culture in that room that they want to play for Trout.
Let's talk about a couple of these guys who are next in line, and Javen Williams and Alex Birchmeyer in particular, and I'll throw Chimney Ono in there too. These guys came in very highly regarded, and I think sometimes fans want to see those highly rated guys come in as a true freshman. Well, it just doesn't always work that way, especially at offensive line. And I think we all forget guys like Williams and Birchmeyer, they still have 3 years of eligibility left. How are they progressing? Again, those were guys when a couple years ago as recruits, they were so highly regarded.
Yeah, you know, I'll touch on Burke real quick. Quick story. I came here in the fall, visited, and it was during a practice, and I'm just kind of, you know, making my rounds, looking at everybody. And I was familiar with Birchmeyer because my first year at Virginia Tech, he was like one of the top guys in the state. But he didn't waver his recruitment, his commitment to Penn State. So I come in, and the story on him was he was still developing, right? And this was the fall. All right, and now fast forward, and now this kid looks like he can play now. Like he's starting to evolve into what we thought he would have been, you know, coming out of high school. So again, when it comes to offensive linemen, they might not come in and they're just, you know, ready to play right away. But you know, we're looking at it and we trust our evaluations on him, and then we develop him. And you know, he just in the span of a couple months to me completely changed my mind and outlook and projection of what he looks like this fall. And so that's just a side story on Burke, but, you know, Cousins, Coop, you know, came in last year, played as a true freshman. You don't see that, you know, him being an in-state guy. I think he's going to be a fan favorite. just kind of like Doc is and a couple of the Penn State guys is. He just has that personality, and you see some of the stuff he does off the field too. Is pretty special. But Donka is awesome. Javen is awesome. They're all everything coming out of winter and spring is positive when you're talking about these guys, and they're helping build that depth so that we have 7, 8, 9 guys. And another guy I want to mention is TJ Shannon. Shanahan's having a great summer right now, working in the weight room, and he'll be able to bring depth to the team as well.
Now, he's the transfer portal guy.
Yes, he is. And he came in from Texas A&M. Great guy.
And the one offensive lineman, now he's one of the veteran guys. I was looking to talk about the young guys, but because he's one of my favorite players on the team, Vega Ioane. That's the guy I love. And like I said, every time he starts to go in motion, Mike, I, you know, stand up because I want to see what he's going to do. For a guy just that big to be mobile enough to go into motion and still be able to take care of his assignment against smaller but much more mobile players.
Yeah, it's incredible, and it speaks to, you know, his elite athleticism, and he's developed a lot in this offseason too. I think I'll tell you guys, you know, talking to the coaches and the staff, I don't think there's another guy that they're happier about as far as when it comes to development. When you talk about Venga, you know, I think I told you,
I'll tell you what, Mike, I'm going to interrupt you there because I want to hear the full story. We're hitting a hard break. As soon as we come back, I want to hear more about Venga.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. The NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
All right, we are back on the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number 3. We're talking about the next wave of players with Mike Villagrana from Happy Valley United. By next wave, I'm talking about guys on the roster. They haven't broken through yet, say, as starters, but they're getting there. And as I say that, we're talking about the up-and-coming guys. I interrupted you as we finished up segment number 2. We were talking about the offensive line, and I can't help myself. I always want to bring up Vega Ioane's name because I am so impressed with him, Mike.
Yeah, he's super impressive. Obviously, Penn State fans know all about him, and him going in motion from wide receiver, cracking down and absolutely killing a defender. He's special. Like I said previously on this last segment, he's probably got some of the most hype coming out of spring and winter workouts as far as when it comes to his development and what he's going to do. I think his draft stock has risen tremendously. I think he's going to have a huge year. You can look back at, you know, his recruitment. I think he was a 3-star kid committed to Washington, and we were able to flip him. That just speaks to our culture, Trout, and Penn State. And he's going to be special this year, big time. And I talk about it all the time. Guys that can – I think some of the hardest things for an offensive lineman to do is block somebody in space when they go out on a screen or whatnot. And Vega, as big of a human being as he is, makes it look easy.
Yeah, that's the part that's incredible. Now I just want to ask you one more question about Vega before we move on. Are we ever going to throw him the ball?
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, don't put it past Coach Kolumnicki and what he does. He's going to have fun out there. And we have athletic guys. I think that would probably piss off a couple of the other offensive linemen because, you know, offensive linemen, they all think they're studs athletically. But we do have some studs on that offensive line that probably have played tight end or have some kind of athleticism background catching the ball.
I actually last season put out a tweet at one time. I took a screenshot where he was essentially left alone, okay, set out as a wide receiver. I'm like, come on, you got to throw him the ball. And I said I was going to move on. I can't, though. We have a segment on our show, one of our shows, where we allow the listeners to send in questions. One of them sent us the question, when is he going to line up as a fullback and be given the ball along the goal line? And the listener invoked Refrigerator Perry. And remember him with the Bears, and they put him in the backfield? Yeah, right. Why can't we do that with Vega was the question. So that's my question to you. Are we going to see that? Are we going to see him get the ball handed off to him?
Yeah, I don't know if it's in the works. It may be. I haven't seen it. But, you know what, I'll pass it along to Coach Cole, Nicky, and Trout. Because I think that's a great idea, especially if we need an inch or two.
Okay. I think so also. And since we're talking about the offensive line, it's so tough to get good tackles, and Penn State has at least three of them, if not more, with the depth. But one of the questions, Mike, it's at right tackle, where you had Anthony Donka. He was the starting right tackle last season. That was it. He gets hurt. Nolan Rucci comes in. The offensive line doesn't miss a beat. In fact, late in the season, that was probably their best work, end of season and into the playoffs, and it was with Nolan Rucci at right tackle. So I guess I'm wondering, is Donka healthy, and what do you do with two, not one, but two really good right tackles?
Yeah, well, you let them battle it out. First of all, you know, iron sharpens iron. You hear that all the time. So it's really good that we have that depth. And I mean, you could argue we don't go on that run last year if Nolan doesn't play to the to how he played. You know, kudos to Nolan, you know, especially, you know, his story, you know, his dad, his brother going to Wisconsin, coming back, contributing. You know, I think that's pretty a cool story. It's special. And, you know, however it shakes out, you know, whether it's one or two, Donka and Nolan, both of them are going to play a lot of snaps.
Yes, and it's warranted because they both did play well, and I'm in agreement with you. Yeah, I don't think there's that same kind of run if it were not for Nolan Rucci. And as I said, you could argue that the offensive line was at its very best at the end of the season when Nolan was out there. So I'm really looking forward to this year's offensive line. All right. Let's shift to a couple other positions. Let's stick on the offense for a little while. A surprise that both the stud running backs came back. Okay. I think Penn State fans were hopeful of one, but to get them both back, and we still see this depth there. There were multiple players who looked like they were showing a lot of potential, Mike. All of a sudden, we've got Quentin Martin, Corey Smith, Cam Wallace coming off the injury, but coming back also. And then some of the true freshmen, I think Tyke Hayes, we saw a little glimpse of him. And now we have Jaree Coleman, who just arrived on campus. Any of these guys impressing you?
Yeah, I would say definitely Quentin Q was very impressive to me come spring. He hit a couple runs where you saw explosion, patience, vision, and home run ability. And when I say home run ability, he's able to outrun angles and score. I'm really excited about Q, what he's going to do this year. He's kind of like in the middle. He's not a huge kid. He's not a small back. He's kind of somewhere in the middle to me. And that makes him kind of dynamic and every down type of back. But Corey Smith is also talented. He's coming on. He impressed me over the past couple months. You got Cam Wallace come back off of injury. And then you have Tyke, who was here early in enrollee from Aliquippa. He's kind of that bigger back. That, you know, he did some pretty special things this off season too. So he's going to help contribute. And then, like you mentioned, Jabri just got here, got onboarded and everything is now in the strength and conditioning program. So that's a healthy room, but I would look at those next three after Nick and Katron to contribute this fall in some form or fashion. It's going to be exciting to see, you know, how Coach and Coach Franklin decides to divvy up the reps in the fall, because you already have, you know, Nick and Katron. You know what they're about, right? You know, now it's a fine balance of getting them ready so they're peaking come the season, but also you don't want to put too much wear and tear on them in practice. Where they're not able to make be able to last the entire season. So Q and Corey, Cam and Tyke and Jabri, they're going to get reps this fall in August leading up to the first game. So it's going to be exciting to see how that shakes off. But I'm really excited about Q right now.
You know, you kind of beat me to the punch. I was going to ask you about that. When you have guys like Nick Singleton, Katron Allen, at running back, you don't want to put too many miles on these guys, which has really helped both of them in their collegiate career that they have each other. So they don't get, you know, 35 carries a game, that type of thing. But I was going to ask you, like in the practice, obviously they got to be there and, you know, run through new plays. And but they've been with Andy Kotelnicki for a year. They know the offense. How much of that could you just kind of pull back a bit with those two? Because you have so many young players that you want to get reps for all of them in practice.
Yeah, it's a fine balance. And there's a lot of things that go into it, right? There's the sports science part of it that we have the resources that, you know, you add that layer to it to make certain decisions on whether or how much you want a guy to practice, his volume of reps per practice. But like I said, you also want to make sure that he's getting better. He's still developing and peaking at the right time when game one comes up. Then when the season actually hits and after game one, now it's a matter of maintenance, right? And keeping him healthy, keeping him peaking, and making sure he's good. Now we have, you know, the great thing with us is we have two great backs, right? And I think you're going to see this a lot more. You're going to see a lot more of two backs staying at a school, because when they hit the NFL, they want a bunch of carries, you know, that they've had, you know, like you always hear back in the day, Alabama, Nick Saban, you know, killing running backs, and then they go to the league and then, you know, they don't last that long. Well, this kind of helps, you know, you having two special backs like Katron and Nick. Well, now they can help each other out and staying healthy, take some reps off each other. And they're also a good 1-2 combo. They bring a little bit, a little something different to the field. So I think you're going to see a lot more backs staying. And instead of just jumping ship and, you know, want to be the full-time starter like you see here.
Well, also, I got to think, first of all, NFL scouts are pretty smart. They don't need you. They don't need to see Nick Singleton with 35 carries a game to know, gee, that's a pretty good back there.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is something, you know, we've hit on before about these players coming back as running backs where they can now be compensated in college. Running back, that's a dangerous position. That they don't have long NFL careers typically. They're very vulnerable. They're always getting hit. Well, now the difference is you stick around for another season, you can get compensated. And if you're able to share the load, that's all the better.
Yeah, no question. You know, it's, you know, Saquon, I think, actually changed the trend a little bit. You know, you heard 2-3 years ago, you hear about all the NFL running backs complaining about their contracts because they understand that their longevity in the NFL isn't great. But, you know, now, you know, it's so important to have a good running back. Obviously, you know, I think the trend in the NFL was, you know, just wait until the third mid rounds to get it back, and then you can kind of plug and play. But when you see, you know, what a Saquon in the right offense can do in a good offensive line, all right, now it looks pretty good for your team. So, you know, to your back to your point, you know, if they can stay another year, and obviously Penn State, we have the ability to compensate them, you know, and it makes sense, then, you know, they should stay. But, you know, if they're, you know, a first, second rounder, then they should definitely go.
Yeah, there. It's like we talked about. If you're Abdul Carter and you're going to be one of the top five picks, you know, you go. I'll give you my real quick Saquon Barkley story. The year he came out, maybe we talked about this before. The Browns had, I think, the first and fourth pick.
Yeah, I remember.
Needed a quarterback. I said, pick Saquon first. You can't tell the difference among the four quarterbacks. And if they had waited, taking Saquon first, they would have been able to get Josh Allen.
Yeah, so I'm a Browns fan. You know, grew up in Youngstown, Ohio, and somehow I got brainwashed to be a Browns fan. But, you know, as Browns fans do, they're loyal, right? So I remember that draft, and we had the first pick of the draft again for the 100th time. And, you know, me coming off of you know, I just had left Penn State that year to go with Joe Moorhead, Mississippi State. So I'm watching that draft. I'm like, yes, we're going to take Saquon. And we didn't. We took Baker. And I'll never forget. I remember I popped off. I had Twitter fingers. I remember saying, I quit. Done being a Giants fan. I'm jumping ship. I'm going to be a Giants fan.
All right. That's the last word for quarter three. More to go in quarter four.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. And Mike, it's interesting. You and I, we were talking between segments, and we were talking about a little bit about NFL and how the trend has changed. For several years, you didn't spend big money on a running back. And we were talking about Cleveland's draft a few years ago when they had the first and fourth pick, and they took Baker Mayfield first when I thought they should have taken Saquon. And with the fourth pick, they could have still gotten a quarterback. But as I'm starting to tell this, you're like, yep, I'm a Browns fan. So I know that history well. But the world has changed in the NFL. And again, I think Saquon Barkley was the leading reason. He was the difference last year for the Eagles. He was the reason that they were a Super Bowl champion.
You know, it's like unfortunate too. Like when you look back at the draft, some of the drafts, and you see some guys that came in, you know, highly touted and they just didn't, you know, make it or just didn't, you know, project and end up being what everybody thought they would. Well, a lot of it has to do too with like the scheme and the organization they go into, right? Like I think like when you look at teams, you know, the savvy football fan like understands like organizations, you know, they're good based off of, you know, their leadership. So it starts with the owner, all the way down to the front office, GM, president, all that, you know, like they have to be aligned and make sure that they're running a good organization. Or, you know, I'm not a Giants fan, but you watch that Hard Knocks and you're like, what are they doing? Like this GM is having his kid pick his picks and like he's saying no to Saquon. Like just, it doesn't look like a really well run program, but you know, obviously they're professionals and they do this for the jobs. That's just my one man's opinion. But you know, Saquon moves one team, better O-line, better organization, and wins a Super Bowl and kills it. Like it's awesome. I couldn't be happier for Saquon. And I just like that for players. I like that when I'm just to see that, regardless if it was Saquon or not.
Well, it also shows, I think, in professional sports, and we can segue this back to, you know, college sports, college football specifically, you know, the well-run organization. So many people, fans, we look at stars and it's like, oh, that recruit's a 3-star. He's not a 5-star. Until you realize several years later, oh, here's these 3 stars, like we were talking about Vega Ioane, who develops. And what I want is the scouting staff, the recruiters within my organization that I follow, which is Penn State. I want them to be smarter than the other guys. I want them to be smart enough. And I think hanging out with you, Mike, has led me to think about things a little differently.
That's
so,
good.
Well, most of it is good.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, like we just got to look at the big picture, right? And like to me, I was just talking to Kenny Sanders today, who I worked with, you know, in 15 to 17. You know, Kenny obviously is running the ship here when it comes to personnel with AZ and all those guys. And it's so different where we're at now compared to where we were, because, you know, it, in the past, you know, you would see, you know, when it's social media, this kid puts out his top four, top five, right? And when Penn State's in one of them and the other three schools is Ohio State, USC, Miami, or whatever, some of the premier schools, you're like, okay, that makes sense. That's where we want to be for all our top kids. But it wasn't the case. You know, sometimes it would be with like a mid-level power four school, something like that. But now it's all these big time kids have us in their top five, top four, top three. And it's a credit to where the personnel staff has been able to identify, and you have your top guys, and say you lose a Joey O'Brien, a Grayson, or one of those guys. Well, we have a guy right up next, and we've been recruiting him just as hard as we've been recruiting the Joey O'Briens and the Graysons of the world. So they become real, which that wasn't the case. You know, when I was here, you know, you go down to the middle of the board and you're just like, well, we haven't been recruiting these guys like we should. So now we're going to take a reach because our board wasn't realistically that deep. You know, you want that third and fourth guy on that board to be just as real as that first and second guy, and even deeper. And then that's where we're at right now. And it's really impressive, you know, what they've done here. You know, I've been lucky to come back here and see the inner works and how it's changed. And it's awesome. The evaluation and the identification process with the guys is awesome. Kenny was just showing me their summer project. You know, they're going back all the way through all the guys in our region and making sure we haven't missed on any guys that have popped during camps, reevaluating them. It's really impressive.
And it must be an interesting perspective for you. Like if you've been here the whole time and it gradually things get better, you almost, it's imperceptible, the movement. But for you, having been here, now coming back 6, 7, 8 years later, you could say, hey, wait a minute, this is hugely different than when I left. And I think that's got to be attributed to James, who's the common factor here, that in this decade plus now that he's been at Penn State, it's been about building the program. And I feel like some people, you know, it's like damning with faint praise. And I'm not sure James likes hearing, oh, he's a good CEO. It's almost like the insinuation is he's not a great coach. You know, he's an executive. But by being that executive, he has built a program. It's not just about getting a specific player this year, you know, versus Notre Dame or whoever else. It's building the whole program, the infrastructure.
Yeah, and I think what you see around the country is a lot of programs aren't able to do this, right? Because it takes a long time. And what don't coaches have normally is time to build a program, right? They're usually out after 2 to 4 years, and then it's like it's a circle, right? And it's the same thing. They do the same thing. Our coach has had 12 years to build up this program to where it's at. So it's really impressive what he's been doing. He's the CEO from everything. And from the first time I was here, the staff has doubled. So it's really even more impressive to see how this whole organization is running and operated. And it's really neat. It's really neat.
It is very impressive. When we started this show, our goal was to get through the entire team looking at that next level. We're going to hold off on the defensive side of the ball for next week, but let's finish up on the offensive side of the ball. Let's talk about the receivers a bit, Mike. We all know the transfer portal guys, Kyron Hudson, Devontae Ross, Trevor Pena. Lots going to be expected of them. They're going to be that top tier. My question to you is, who's next? Who could we look to as guys who might get into the two deep, might get into the rotation, and then develop into stars later? You know, is it Tyzir Denmark? Is it Peter Gonzalez, Josiah Brown? There's several names there. Who are the guys who stood out to you?
I want to say the first guy that probably popped out to me was Devontae Ross when I first got here, just knowing he had just gone here. He was a transfer. He's smaller in stature, but he reminds me a little bit of KJ Hamler, and that kind of, you know, has that kind of electric trait to him when he has the ball in his hands. He's you know, incredible make you miss ability, as well as, you know, he brings value to the return game. So he'll be able to return punts or kicks too. So, you know, he pops out to me right away. You know, he's not your huge, you know, physical presence, but like I said, first thing, comp wise, he reminds me of KJ Hamler. So he's really impressive. I'm excited to see how Coach Koltunicki uses him in his fun offense. You know, obviously, you know, you touch on some of the transfers that we brought in. Kyron Hudson, he's impressive. He is like kind of an all around total package type of player to me. He has for sure hands, huge catch radius. He can make that 50-50 catch. So he's impressive. Trevor, you know, he just came on board. He's impressive from Syracuse. He's kind of a little bit of a mixture of both. Of maybe I could be off a little bit on this, but to me, you know, he's a little bit of Devontae. He's a little bit of Kyron. So what you want, you know, versatility in that room. So that's really good. Some of the younger guys that, you know, Pete Gonzalez coming off an injury was really impressive this offseason. You know, there's a ton of guys, a ton of young guys, Tysier, Denmark, you know, we're hoping to see him develop more this season. I'm trying to think, who am I missing? Obviously, you know, the guy that probably we take for granted sometime is Liam Clifford.
Yeah.
You know, he's Mr. Reliable. He's going to, I think, have a bigger impact this fall, but I'm really excited about them. And obviously I might be a little bit biased with Liam just for being here in the past and recruiting his family, but, you know, him solely and his physical and his athletic ability, and how he's developed this offseason, I think he's going to do, a really good job this season.
And let's very quickly, in the last minute we have, at least touch on the tight ends. We talked earlier, it's deep, it's talented. I'm not sure a new guy's going to be able to break through. You have Luke Reynolds, you have Khalil Dinkins, they're coming back. I think Andrew Rapalier gets forgotten because he was out for a year hurt.
Yeah, that's right. And so that was like the first glaring thing to me when I got here, when I looked at the tight end room, like they're deep. It's like top down, like all of these guys can play. And like, you saw the guys that played last year, you saw Luke, you know, freaking have some huge plays. You saw Khalil have some huge plays. And, you know, you go back to Rapp's recruitment, he came in highly touted, and he's just as talented as some of these other guys. You know, he brings a little bit, a little something different to the table, but now he's coming in the fall healthy. So it's going to be interesting to see how Ty and Koltunicki and Coach Franklin balance that room. And because they all can contribute and bring value to the team. So it's going to be interesting how they divvy up the reps there, obviously. And then, you know, Matt Henderson coming in this season, you know, as a true freshman, he's going to have a bright future, but it's good to have him in that room with those three guys.
All right. That's going to be the last word, Mike. And next week we'll talk about the defense.
Yeah. I can't wait.
And thank you all.
More commits to talk about too.
Definitely. All right. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.